Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined as always during the UEFA Euro 2020 tournament played in 2021 is Ryan Belongi. Ryan, we are doing this again in the middle of the slate. It's like the biggest game of the tournament right now, France-Germany. So obviously nobody's watching that and it's just watching us, right?
Yeah, of course. Best game of the tournament coming up. Can't wait to watch it after this, but we got a nice slate to get into. The GPP filled today very early. They did make it a little smaller, but tomorrow's is back up to 100K again. So we'll see how that goes. I have a few doubts with it being a three-game slate again. And I know usually the slates get a little more attention when they have a big game on them like there was today. But it's still a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. I think the showdown for France-Germany was 100,000. So mm-hmm. I think...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. They made that one bigger.
Yeah, my thought was that they were going to start doing that anyway, just really prioritizing the late showdown because, you know, the later in the day, the better when it comes to any of these sports, particularly with soccer. The 9 a.m. starts, we got lucky today with a noon start on the East Coast, but the 9 a.m. starts are a little rough for others, 9 a.m. Eastern, that is, but... That's what we have for Wednesday's slate. I'm encouraged by the fact that today filled, and obviously they're going back to 100. I'm hopeful that 100,000 is just going to be what they do from now on. I can't imagine that you see them going higher, but until we get later in the tournament. But yeah, it's big enough that I think people are playing. So yeah, let's dive into this slate here. We've got a three-game slate. Finland-Russia kicks us off, which is a little bit of a downer after we get France-Germany today. And then we've got Turkey and Wales, and then Italy and Switzerland. These are the beginning of everyone's second game. So we have, 90 minutes on each team of things that we can extrapolate and overreact to, which is always nice. Italy, the biggest favorite, followed by Russia, and then this Turkey-Wales game is supposed to be pretty close, with a total that may as well be zero for how low that one is. And after what we saw in Turkey and Wales' first games, I want to give Italy some credit there of how bad Turkey looked, but Wales, we were so optimistic about Wales. And I'm not sure Turkey's going to be the place where they break out of that.
No. Yeah, it's nice. It's the first slate where we have some evidence to go off of for these teams. We've seen them all play, and that's nice. I think you can definitely use that. I know you said, you never want to overreact to what you saw in the first game, but a lot of that stuff will be helpful. I think it's a good base for these games. Just like some quick thoughts: Russia against Finland in Russia. Russia needs a win. Finland had one shot last game against Denmark. I could see Russia, being the better team here. Wales, Turkey. Yeah, Wales was disappointing. They really struggled against Switzerland to have any possession. I agree with you. I I don't think it gets much better against Turkey. I think Turkey, you know, should be on top more in that match, but yeah, you never know. Italy looked really good. Was Turkey partly the reason for that? Maybe. Wales could see some more opportunities because Switzerland is a good defensive team. So, and Turkey hasn't been recently, though they were, you know, in the 1 or 2 years before this, not recently. And then, yeah, Italy and Switzerland. Italy looked great. Arguably the best team so far.
Yeah.
I'd expect them to be, you know, dominant in possession again, creating chances. And the salaries on this slate definitely reflect that. The Italy guys are very expensive. I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about playing one or two of them in cash. If so, which one, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, so they are really expensive. But like they should be. I think one of the nice things now that we have at least one game under our belt is that it provides a little bit of clarity on the set piece situation. Like everything was pretty guesswork before that. You know, attempted intelligent guesses, but just guesses. So a little plug here, apologies for those who are not watching this on YouTube, but our daily cheat sheets now that we have stats include the free kick tracker. So those seeing on YouTube see this, that we have for all subscribers. Now I'm just giving it away for free here on YouTube. But basically you can see
tracker, the free kick tracker is great, by the way. I use it all the time. It really helps.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see with Italy that, you know, I think there was a thought that Berardi could have taken a few in that first match. We figured Insigne would, but he basically took them all. Bernardeschi took a few off the bench, and I guess, I mean, Berardi ended up with, what, two there. So it just seems like either, you know, they split sides and they were just all on Insigne's side, but, you know, he was the one who was benefiting.
I think you're right. I think you got to give a slight lean towards Insigne for who's going to have the majority of set pieces.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a reasonable build where you play Insigne and Berardi. I just don't.
I agree.
It's just too much for a game that shouldn't be totally out of hand. You know, like I think we've said it on every podcast so far, and I'm going to say it again. These games are not expected to be that high scoring. And so to have to pay $20,700 for two players for a favorite, but not an overwhelming favorite, it just seems a little nuts, especially when neither of them are minus 250 to score. You're really playing them for floors anyway. So I sided with Insigne just because I get very swayed by the free kick tracker. And if his number is bigger, then I'm just going to play him.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I definitely lean towards Insigne. More free kicks or crosses or corners, whatever, also cheaper. And yeah, I don't think you can afford both guys. Also because there's some other places to go to get some fantasy points on this slate, I think. And those pieces aren't necessarily the cheapest. So it's, you know, it really hurts your lineup too much if you try to jam in both those Italy guys.
Yeah. I'm going to steal something that you said Saturday for Sunday. It's all a blur at this point, whatever the last three game slate was. But we had three teams that were basically all the same favorite, or they looked at odds-wise, you know. And just looking at this odds report, Italy is a bigger favorite than Russia is over Finland, but it's not by much. And, you know, their implied goal total is not that high, that much higher. And so if you treat them as the same and I can get a $2,000 cheaper set piece taker, then I probably take the $2,000. I can play both, but I'm not going to play two from Italy if I can get another one from Russia that's almost as big of a favorite for $2,000 less.
Absolutely agree. If you just look at those teams and assume they're about the same as far as the same favorite and it's going to translate into the same amount of, you know, possession and peripherals. Yeah, the Russia guys are much cheaper, or the Russia guy that you're talking about is much cheaper. So I think it makes sense to go to him for sure.
Yeah, so from a forward perspective, Mirnchuk is the guy, 7,900 versus Berardi at 10,700. It just, for cash, it just seems like, I think a lot of people are going to play Insignia and Mirnchuk because they're not a ton of, I mean, again, on every slate, they're not a ton of like high floor forwards, but they're the two on this slate and they're the biggest favorites. So just move on. And this is where you'll probably try to tell me that it's a great bounce back spot for Gareth Bale, but I'm not sure I'm buying it.
You know, I can't recommend Bale to the people today after, after what the way Wales looked. No, not confidently. Absolutely not for cash. I mean, of course you can play him in tournaments, but no, I'm going to do a 180 on Bale. And I think he got, yeah, I'm pretty much off him for this slate. Mirnchuk. Yeah. Seems like you just go to him. He should get, you know, some crosses, a few set pieces and more peripherals. I mean, don't think of Russia the way you saw them in the Belgium game. It's not going to be like that against Finland. It's not like Russia are this amazing team, but Finland is definitely one of one of the lesser teams in the tournament. I mean, like I said at the start, the fact that they had one shot against Denmark and like they rarely looked like creating much, that sticks out in my mind. You said, you don't want to overreact, and I agree with that, but I think it's safe to go to the Russia guys tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I didn't even realize it, but not to go back to the Finland thing, and obviously that game was very wacky with the Christian Eriksen situation, but I saw that Raitala, who we talked about as like a cheap guy that probably wasn't going to do anything, pulled a defensive Cavani by scoring 2.5 points with a clean sheet as a fullback. And we were like, oh, he's playing out wide, it'll be fine. But that was obviously not fine. So
that was great. I think I remember that podcast. Like, I was worried about my call. I remember saying he had absolutely zero upside. And I look and saw that he had negative points before the clean sheet kicked. And I thought, okay, well, at least we got one thing right on that first podcast.
And frankly, it could have been worse. Like, he absolutely could have had a yellow also. Like, he finished with 4 fouls committed. Usually that's the range where they finally give him a card. So we should be thankful for the 2.5 from that one. Yeah. So basically, the way I looked at this slate, similarly to what we were saying for this Tuesday slate, that moving from a cash lineup to a GPP lineup is almost easy with the Italy guys specifically, because Insignia and Berardi got like banged up a little bit, but I think he's expected to start. If he doesn't, Chiesa will start in his spot. He's not. He's decently cheaper actually. But if you just want to switch to Immobile, if he starts, for GPP, that's the upside, because Immobile's got to have the highest anytime goal score odds on the team. So it's just a very quick switch and you're fine, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Immobile looked good in the first game. Clearly looks like Italy's first choice striker. Great GPP option off one of those more expensive Italy guys.
Where do you prioritize Chiesa if he starts?
Ooh, being in the last game, it's going to be tough to know that. But yeah, if I plan for it, or like, you might leave spaces left or lineup spots left to be flexible and make changes. I think he'd be a fantastic play. Yeah, cheaper than all the other Italy guys. He's in good form. He had a great season for Juventus. If he were to start, he looks like he'd probably be my favorite play on Italy. That salary savings is significant.
Yeah, I think all of that also applies to Bernardeschi if he starts.
Absolutely.
He also has taken a ton of sets during qualifying. And so if either of those guys, but you nailed it, like it's the last game. If you use a forward spot on him, you're likely leaving a ton of salary on the table, or, well, you're basically playing Embolo possibly on the other side of that game, and you probably don't want much Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I was going to say you could play Shaqiri if he, you know, if you have a utility spot with those guys, but I'm not sure I want any Switzerland on the slate.
No, I definitely don't want Shaqiri. I know we're not to midfield yet, but it really starts, or we can wait. We'll wait for him. The Switzerland forwards, you can get some really low ownership there. Mbolo has upside. I forgot to mention him on the first podcast, but he's a player this year for Mönchengladbach who considerably underperformed his XG. I'm not like a huge XG guy, but it was noticeable for Mbolo. And those are actually the type of players you want on one game slates because, you know, you're not buying him for the whole season. And at least he has XG. We saw in the game against Wales, he was creating chances on his own.
He can
come up with something special. So a guy like that is who I would take a chance on. You're right, though. Switzerland's not a team I would be overly excited to target. No one will play them, though, in the last game and against Italy.
Yeah, I mean, from that point of view, that's where you're going to go. They're the biggest underdog, though. Like, I'm just not sure you're getting a whole lot. Like, I think I play Bale over any of the Switzerland guys, though.
I agree.
Yeah. Yep. So where do you fall in this Turkey game? Do you like any of the Turkish forwards or?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, Wales gave up tons of chances to Switzerland.
Yeah.
I was really hard on Seferovic before or on that podcast, but he had tons of chances to score.
Turns out we had every reason to be tough.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, that was nice. Turkey being at home, the salary, I mean, Yilmaz, for example, center forward, that's a pretty good salary. He should have some great chances to score. Absolutely have interest in the Turkey guys. Let me check, is Karaman expected to start again?
We have him in. So
So if he starts, that's a great price. Playing him at forward can let you fit a lot of things. Looks like he's the second cheapest forward on the slate, playing for a favorite. So yeah, those are the type of guys I like to play. Definitely.
Yeah, that is a decent price for sure.
Just one Moranchuk too, just for GPP wise. He's a guy that I could be wrong about this, so I hesitate to say it, but I kind of don't see people playing him that much in GPPs, and I think he's a good GPP play too. He has goal upside, and yeah, for some reason I don't know if I see people using a spot on him in the first game after, you know, he was a sub in the first game. I don't know. It all kind of goes into it, but I don't mind him for GPPs either. And obviously, Zuba, or however you say his name, Juba, he might be even a better GPP play. He's got pretty good goal scoring odds.
As I say, he's actually the top. He's at 120 plus 125, which, I mean, they don't get higher than that. So,
right. You got to have interest in the guy with the highest goal scoring odds when he's only 7,400.
Yeah. Would you play both of them, Mirnchuk and Zuba?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great great move. Very good chance they assist to one another.
Right. From the cheap guys other than Karaman, like Finland might – I don't want to play anybody from Finland, but like the Finland offers some cheaper guys.
That guy who scored Pujanapalo.
Oh, that's pretty good.
5,300. Yeah. I mean, sure, you know, got to be in play. I mean, he scored against Denmark. So, I mean, sure, he could score here.
He's
not a guy that I'm going to be jumping to roster. But I don't hate it.
I'd be remiss as a daily fantasy sports tap to not mention that he has 100% of their shot volume.
That's a great point. So, you know, by those numbers, you get a guy who takes 100% of his team shots as the cheapest forward on the slate. He looks like an absolute smash.
Let me just lock him in here. Sorry. Mm-hmm. 150 lock. All right. So the Whales, I don't even want to talk about the Whales guys. Like, I guess Moore actually looked deep. He just looked huge. I'll put it that way. He looked huge. And so I don't mind.
Mm-hmm. They'll try to play balls to his head again. Obviously, he could put one in. Yeah, we mentioned Bale. Still a tournament play. Probably will get less ownership after that performance and after the Whales performance. Again, don't hate it, but not going to really recommend it.
Yeah, I think the other thing that was a bit surprising was when Harry Wilson didn't start, we were kind of guessing that Bale might be able to take some set pieces, and Daniel James basically took most of them. So I'm not sure.
I saw Bale take one. And they didn't have any shots, and they didn't have any shooting positions. And Bale is definitely going to take almost all of the shooting position free kicks. But
for sure.
Yeah, Danny James, he's going to take the crosses.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so midfield, I think this is another slate where we actually have like a number of midfielders that we can play. It becomes more of an opportunity cost thing. Like punting midfield on this slate doesn't seem as viable as it did on Tuesday's slate here. I ended up playing N'Golo Kanté. We talked about him yesterday. So I think that there are guys on this slate, and some of them are definitely not cheap. That being said, I think Golovin's probably going to be really popular, and I think people will play him and Mirnchuk. And mostly because they're just so much cheaper than getting another Italy guy in. So like getting heavy on Russia doesn't seem that bad because you're really just getting heavy on the team that's playing Finland.
Right. Totally agree. Golovin, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, where do you fall on Çalhanoğlu? Because like,
yeah. I think you can go to him too. You're right. He's a tougher one. I think you can roster them both. If you can afford it, I guess I haven't gotten that far in the lineup yet. So I guess if we're comparing the two, I'd maybe want to look at some numbers, but I'd lean Golovin. Yeah. I mean, Russia, the bigger favorite, they looked a little better. Çalhanoğlu could lose. I don't know how you say his name actually. Up until like a few weeks ago, I was saying like Çalhanoğlu sometimes, but that's not it either. Anyways. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? I think you can go to him. I'm warming on him, but, some other guys might steal some sets. I keep going back to the fact, though, that Wales is not going to be the team that has the most possession, and I feel like pretty confident about that. And that makes me like Çalhanoğlu too. Not more than Golovin, but I do like him.
Yeah. So I like them both. The one, there were basically two guys that are making me hesitate. One plays for them, like Under. Played really well off the bench in that first game, in a game that like Turkey did not play well in. Like he looked good. I believe he took a set piece. If only there was a way to find out. Let's see here.
I think he did.
There's his name. 1 in 45. So on 2 sets per 90. All right, I'll take that. But he's a little cheaper. But really it's whether I want to go on the other side and whether I want to play Daniel James again or not. Daniel James is 6,500, but like, I agree with you that I don't expect Wales to have more possession in this game. And so I think prioritizing the Turkey set pieces is better than prioritizing Wales's, but it's also then, do I pay up or go with the cheaper of the potential options.
Yeah. These are tough decisions, actually. I'm looking at these guys more. I agree with what you said about James, but you know, he can get there in other ways too.
Absolutely.
Turkey's not the worst matchup. I mean, coming into the group, if we wouldn't have seen the opening game, you would think Wales can do okay in this matchup. I don't love the fact that James got subbed, but it still seems like you can go there. Chengiz under, I think that's how you say his first name. It seems like he's going to start. It seems like he could take a couple sets. He does make me worry slightly about Çalhanoğlu. That's an interesting one. I mean, I wouldn't hate it if you go there either. He probably has the most open play value on Turkey as far as just what type of player he is. They don't have necessarily the quickest guy. He's got good feet. He can dribble. He runs at players. He's going to create chances. So he might be just as good of a play as those guys.
My biggest fear is playing 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's definitely a worry. And to be honest, that'll probably keep me off him. I mean, the pricing is, yeah, he's cheaper, but like you can go up or you can go down. So doesn't seem like you need to go there in cash.
Yeah, it feels like the 2v2, the other guys that you'll have in the 2v2 are close enough where it's like, I should probably just prioritize the guy who might play longer.
I think so.
Yeah, it worries me when, like, he was not theoretically good enough to start the first game. So to then, like, come into the second game and play 90 feels like a leap of faith.
Right, it feels like a big ask, especially because he'll likely be starting over Yazizi. And, yeah. I mean, seems like he's going to come into the game too. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree.
So then, but that actually is like, maybe do I actually not want to play either of them? And play James, go back to James because he's cheaper, knowing that he's probably sub too. Like,
yeah, I mean, especially because it might allow you to, well, it will allow you to get better somewhere else in your lineup. So I think that's definitely a reasonable starting point. I think you can just, I don't think you need to play the Turkey guys. You're right.
Okay. What about,
like, I just want to say, like, the reason why I'm hesitant, and I'll say it again, you can see Çalhanoğlu having like a big game. I mean, it's not necessarily going to happen, but I can see it. But I do agree with you that it makes sense to, you know, under being in there is enough of a, I guess, limitation to just pay down for James and use the salary somewhere else.
I think what holds me back is I know that Çalhanoğlu has like a 20-point floor in him somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that way about under. So like,
yep,
that sways me a little more that way. But I have absolutely played slates with Çalhanoğlu where I don't play him and he just like absolutely balls out. And I'm just like, ah, it's just so frustrating.
But he's definitely got that in him.
Yeah. So I don't like, I can't, I probably rule Under out for cash at least before I rule out Çalhanoğlu.
Yeah. Let's just say that. Yeah. I'll agree with that for sure. You can rule out Under for cash.
So do you think you're more likely to take some of the non set piece Russia guys for tournaments or, like, where do we, like, they don't even have, like, they don't have, like, a stacked attack where, like, oh, we'll just get this other guy.
No. They don't have the type of guys that I'm normally looking to play, you know, right. Guys that are going to score goals. I'm just, like Zob, so Zobnin in that lineup would be, like, the fourth attacker. He's almost never played an attacking role. No. You know, we were surprised to see him there in the first game. I mean, now they may switch it up. I don't know who they have. I mean, Churyashev, in place where Valencia came in. I mean, he is more attacking. He's also more expensive. He's also probably going to get subbed. I really don't like these Russian guys.
That's exactly where I went. I was like, well, this guy could come in, but nobody, no way he's playing 90. I just don't see myself getting like overly excited about the Italy guys either. Like we talked about Locatelli and Jorginho for the Friday slate, the game against Turkey. Locatelli was brutal, if I
brutal.
Remember.
Yep. I'll just say about Locatelli. He was a player I had some hopes for in the first game after watching the position that he played in and how he got involved in the attack, or more accurately, how he wasn't involved in the attack. I have interest in Locatelli. Jorginho, on the other hand, oh no. I mean, are we going to have just a little bit of interest in Jorginho? I mean, maybe. Yeah, he can get an assist. He looked good. He kind of did a lot of different things for them. And he might be on pens. So I was off Jorginho last time. I don't know. I haven't really decided on this time, but I definitely think he's more of an option, especially the fact that he's cheaper. What do you think?
I think that's the way I think you put it out there. I mean, he was very good in that game.
Yeah.
Three chances created, which obviously helped you rack up some points.
This is definitely also a spot to go back to what you said at the start of the pod. Maybe not overreacting to what we see in the first game. Yes, Jorginho looked very good. It doesn't mean those stats are going to be the same. But I do think it should give you a little more optimism if you want to roster him. I was worried that he might be the deepest lying of the Italy players, and that was Locatelli. To be honest, Jorginho, he maybe could have even done a little bit better. So, no, I don't. Yeah, he's in play. The other Italy starter, Barella, like him as a player. He supports the attack more than the other two. I think he's a fine GPP play. He'll be low owned. It's not someone like I'm trying to target, but I don't think he's someone you cross off. He's an option. He plays 90 minutes. He'll take some shots. He gets involved.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to score a non-penalty goal than Jorginho, at least.
Absolutely, yeah. Good point.
But Jorginho is just a lock. I mean, he's not even a lock for the penalties. Like, we still – it's one of those things that, like, we have a game – one game reference,
mm-hmm.
and we still don't know who
– Yeah, it would be nice to know that one. Like, it would be nice to know who was on penalties for Italy.
Basically, I think it's Jorginho or Immobile. But
yeah, it's absolutely one of those two, yeah. But they'll probably be on the field together.
Right, exactly. Or if Immobile comes off for Belotti, it could be him, but Jorginho will probably still be on the field anyway. And so,
yeah. Hope you don't get a pen.
Right. Unless we have them, then we have to.
Right.
Pay for the bailout penalty. So we talked about Daniel James at 6,500. Did you consider any of the other Wales midfielders? Ramsey looked about as dead as we expected him to look. We saw like Stuart Armstrong start, and that was another, like all those guys that like we've played on Premier League slates and we're like, oh, okay, that works. And this, it just didn't work.
Yep.
Did I get Armstrong mixed up with somebody now that I've said that?
No.
Yeah, he's Scottish.
Started for Scotland, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. My fault. I mixed him up with somebody else.
Anyway.
Whoever it was.
Joe Allen started.
He did. He had an early ball into Moore that looked like it could have been something. Wait, I think it was his lone cross.
Who got that assist to Moore?
It was Morrell.
Morrell,
yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I thought I don't know why I thought it was Ramsey, but to answer your question, no, I wouldn't go back to Ramsey. I was a bit wrong about him and Wales. I thought he'd be getting forward more, but no, he doesn't. And you're right. He didn't look like the player we saw at Arsenal. No, I wouldn't go. I don't have interest there.
I guess the way I'm thinking, if you're really trying to go against, you know, you're trying to find some contrarian route. We know Italy's going to be popular. We know Russia's going to be popular. The expectation is that Turkey is after that. Do you think Wales is low owned enough, you know, more Bale, James or something like that to
take some chances?
Yeah. Well, they have to be like, are they low enough to take chances on them as opposed to Switzerland?
That's a very good question. It's one of the things that I struggle to predict is ownership, but it feels like they're going to be pretty low owned. I mean, just going back to everything I've said on this podcast so far, I've been pretty hard on them because they looked bad. I feel like other people will feel similarly. Other people are going to want to play the other teams on this slate. So yeah, from that perspective, you can go there. Anyone who has goal upside, I would go for the guys who have goal or assist upside, the attackers, obviously. But yeah, I do think their lower ownership means you can go there. I prefer going there as opposed to Switzerland.
Okay, yeah. So I guess that was really the question.
Just like to be more clear, I'd still expect Wales to create some chances, more chances than Switzerland. So yes, like just to be more clear, I prefer them. I think they'll create more chances. They'll be low enough owned to take some shots.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Perfect.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Moving to defense, as we talked on the last Switzerland slate about Rick Rod, and he basically was the most popular player on that slate in cash, if I remember correctly. And he was just, when you compare, if you think that he and Shaqiri, and they're not like the same players, but if their stats are basically the same, then just take the guy who's 3,000 cheaper or 2,000, it might be three. Against Italy, I'm usually okay still taking set piece takers as underdogs if they're decently priced, and he's 5,800, which like if he was a midfielder and was never a defender, I probably would think about it. But I'm off him for this one.
You're off of Rick Rod?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I am too. So quickly, I know we said we would mention Shaqiri, or I said we would bring up Shaqiri in the midfielders. I don't think we did. It looks like, you know, his value has been, I'd say, greatly reduced to like set pieces more so than it used to. He got subbed also. We predicted that he got subbed pretty early. And this relates to Rick Rod too. Switzerland attacked, I mean, I don't want to say exclusively, but for the most part, down that right-hand side with Shaqiri, and it definitely affected Rodriguez's open play value. They were taking all the corners from Shaqiri's side. Rodriguez got there in the end, but he had 6 fantasy points in like the 85th minute or something in a very good matchup. Now, I agree with you that I usually will take these set piece guys as underdogs also. And I also agree with you about this slate in that I don't think you need to go to them here either.
Yeah.
Are we talking about, you know, are we talking about, okay, so we're on defender now. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, are you still planning on paying up at defender?
No.
Okay.
I think the only – so not playing Rodriguez makes it, like, easier to not pay up a defender. Like, he's one of the guys that you – like, if you want to pay for defender, usually he's one of the reasons. The Italy guy, like Spinazzola, looked great.
Mm-hmm. That's who I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, like he, I think he was the cheapest of the group from in the first game.
He was actually like way more expensive than. Oh, sorry, I'm thinking about Showdown. I don't remember. Was he the cheapest?
No, it was Showdown. I thought. Oh, you're right. You're right. I take that back. He was much more expensive because that's
That was one of those where he was like $6,800.
Yes.
And Florenzi was $5,400 or something. Yep. And the game starts and you're watching and Spinazzola is basically playing forward. Florenzi's like rarely getting forward. And you're just sitting there going, DraftKings knows. I mean, because it happens sometimes. Like you look at the prices in Showdown and it makes you not want to do it. And it's like, you know, DraftKings has a guy watching Italy training that like knows how. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but sometimes it's like that.
I can assure you they definitely do not.
I know.
I think I remember that because I don't think he was in our expected lineup. Like, I think it was a bit of a surprise that he was in. And it was like, oh, he's in. So you like go over and like, I'll get a little savings. Maybe I can move up somewhere else. And it was like, oh, he's actually $1,200 more than whoever. Yeah. He's going to
just quickly for tournaments, for GPPs, love Spinazzola. I mean, he was unlucky not to score. Looked fantastic. Yeah. Great GPP play. So yeah, what were you saying though? Cash. No, yeah, it doesn't look like you want to pay up. So who are you looking to?
I literally went right to the bottom.
Again?
I think he was actually too expensive.
$2,800.
So not that dramatic. So I do think that Italy controls this match and don't give up a goal. So I think if you play Bonucci or Chiellini, I think Chiellini's like 3,700, Bonucci's 35. Like I think they're okay plays in cash. I think the reasonable expectation is that they score 3 points though. Like I think if you build your lineup and you try to project points, I think 3 points is where they are. Mm-hmm. But I think that's fine. I think the problem that I had is that Spinazzola was really like the only one I wanted to pay up for. And I actually think he'll be owned in cash.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, people saw that game. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's fine. Like, I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
I think he probably outscores Daniel James and they're basically the same price.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. But I don't think it was Emerson. I was hoping Emerson would start. And then when I saw Spinazzola, I was like, there's no way Emerson should start over this guy.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah.
So our guy, I know we like it when Emerson's in there, but he might have a tough time getting into the team after that performance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't want to play Rodriguez. So I was like, Mbabu looked really good too. But I wonder how much of that, so you were saying like how much they attacked up that right side. I mean, that was Mbabu's side with Shaqiri. Mm-hmm. $4,800 against Italy feels a little expensive. Like if they don't have the ball enough, like he's a good like defensive defender. Like he can get tackles and fouls drawn. I do worry that he tackles a few too many times late and ends up with a yellow card or, you know, he just doesn't have it enough. But, those are the guys I was probably looking at if I was spending a little money. And I mean, really the only other place you go is Russia, right?
Yeah, I agree. Mbabu looked really good. I think, yeah, you can sort of expect him to be, you know, attacking like that going forward. Not the matchup here is what I would say, leads me to not play him this slate, but yeah, he looks really good. I don't think there's a need to go to him against Italy. The Russia guys, they're interesting. They seem like risky cash plays, but I wouldn't do that. I sure it'd be fine. But, Yuri Zhirkov got ruled out for the tournament. I've seen some things that they're going to go back to the three at the back or five at the back, however you want to look at it. And at least in tournaments, that would make Fernandez and Karavayev pretty appealing to me. I don't think they'll be as high owned as they should be. I'm not saying that they won't have ownership, but it won't be as high as they should. And back to our conversation about the midfielders at Russia, we didn't really want to do, because, you know, who do you go? There's just no one really to go for. Fernandez and Karavayev can be involved in a goal, especially if they're playing high up the pitch. So look for Russia's formation. That will decide a lot for me. If they're playing as wingbacks, I'd have a lot of interest. If they're in a back four, too expensive for me.
Okay, that's fair. Thankfully, they're the first game, so we we'll get that. So really, back four, they're just, you wouldn't touch them, even though they
I shouldn't just dismiss them like that. I wouldn't touch them in cash. I think I definitely think they're fine for tournaments. I don't mean to dismiss them. I guess I should just say I like them more if they're on the wing.
Okay.
Like 5K, like, yeah, I don't love paying 5K for guys in a back four that aren't like on an elite team. Unless, especially like if it's a team that I'm not sure how they're going to play, like this game might be a tough game to watch too. Like, we're not sure. I mean, I'm hoping Russia looks good. Or I wouldn't say hoping, but thinking that they could, just based on Finland. But those defenders are still risky for that price when you have expensive players all over the slate to pay for.
Do you play them without Zuba, or do you kind of have to play them?
Yeah, that's a good question too. They make for a good pairing. Either one of them, there's a good chance that that's where the assist could come from. I don't think you need to, though. No, I don't think you need to, because there's a lot of scenarios. Like if that game is 0-0 into the second half or close or something, the defenders could end up really having a nice game. And, you know, Zuba might be subbed off by then. Like, he doesn't have to score. So yeah, I think it's a good option to pair him, but I don't think you have to.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Was there any cheap guy that you liked other than?
I don't think I've mentioned anyone.
It's just a bunch of guys to me, pretty much.
It's just a bunch of guys. I was looking at this. Yeah. I wouldn't say there's anyone I liked, but if I had to go somewhere, I mean, the first thing I'm going to do is look to one of the favorites and who has cheap guys, and that's Turkey. They're not guys who get involved a lot. Ziki Select, 3,800. It's a good price. I mean, it's like, who would you rather have? It's something you got to think about, him or the Italy guys, because they're the same price. If you're playing for an Italy clean sheet, you probably still lean the center backs there. To answer your question, no, they're all just guys. There isn't anyone I like. Like, no one worthy of like me jamming in a bunch of lineups just on his own. So yeah. I'll pair my defenders. I'll pair one with the goalie, or pair one to go for the assist.
Okay. The one guy we skipped in midfield that I'm looking at this Finland lineup is Robin Lowe.
Oh, yeah, good point. I wish I knew how to say his last name.
I think it's Lode and not Lode.
Robin Lode. I've said Lode my whole life because I haven't watched it. Is he still in the MLS?
Yeah, Minnesota United.
I haven't watched a Minnesota United game in a while, so I don't know how they say his name. what do you think?
So he's 5,300 for set pieces as the second biggest underdog. Like, I don't know why you go there.
Sorry.
I'm saying, like, I don't know why you go there.
Okay. Yeah, the one thing I will say is he's cheap. And I was surprised at how high up the field he was playing against Denmark. He was, like, supporting the striker a lot of times. So, again, back to when you asked me about the cheap Russia mids and the cheap Wales mids. If those guys are in play, this Robin Lode is absolutely in play for tournaments. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought him up now. And, you know, I like, you know, and not you specifically, but when you just have no interest, I hope like other people will feel the same way, you know, being in, he's in the first game also. Yeah, I'm going to say you can go there for tournaments. He's not a guy that I'm going to have a lot of, but he seems like a good gamble.
Okay. Yeah, I think we just have to remind ourselves that Russia may be heavily favored, but they're not great. Like, they're not right. A great team.
Right.
Finland stinks, but like every so often some things can happen against teams that are not great.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And also remember that we're comparing him against other midfielders in that range who also aren't great. And that increases his appeal slightly.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you pay up for goalkeeper, basically like Donnarumma or Shunin?
Yeah. Here, I think it's Donnarumma or all the way down.
Yeah.
Or maybe not all the way down. Sorry.
You've got Robin Lodfear now. You can't play Shunin.
No. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't like. Okay.
I agree with you. I think it's Donnarumma or you go down.
Yeah, it's a $200 price difference. I have a lot more confidence in Italy.
Yes.
I do like the fact that Russia's at home, but Italy is also at home.
Yep.
If it were different, I could see myself going to the Russia guy. In this case, no. Well, no for cash, sure for tournaments. Hradecki, or however you say his name, for 4,100.
Yeah.
Seems okay too. I mean, he smashed in the first game. I mean, at least you know Finland are going to face shots. It seems like that's an okay spot to go.
Yep. I think he's the most popular. Like he's only, it's only $200 to Jan Sommer. And yeah. If you're loading up on Italy, I mean, we have said it, like it can work, of course. You know, Immobile gets 6 shots on goal and doesn't score, so that pretty much pays for itself. But I think I think the fact that Hradecki absolutely crushed in his first game will let people look his way, and like I don't think you're like gaining huge leverage by playing Sommer, but I think he'll just be lower owned.
Yeah,
they're goalkeepers, so who knows?
I think everything you said is accurate. Hradecki will probably be the highest owned for all those reasons you said. Some are still good in tournaments, upside, face a lot of shots, but yeah, I think, you know, it's goalie. How much can we say?
I think we talked about goalie for like 10 minutes yesterday.
Yeah. So. Sometimes some slates are more interesting than others. Nothing like it's rare that something like jumps out at you, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was for today's slate because we were talking about Patricio for Portugal. What do you pay? Basically, it was either going to be Patricio or who was the other guy?
And look, it worked out great, you know, from yesterday. You pay up for Patricio, and it got there in the end. That difference can be huge. I mean, he's lower owned, not only in cash but in tournaments significantly, and you have a huge edge, and it. With the way that the goalie points ended up in that first game, and it didn't cost you that much to get it. And also you were favored to get that edge. I mean, this result is going to happen. Portugal are going to win that game with a clean sheet. So that move made sense. Glad it worked out.
Yeah. Galashi is who I forgot. And with like, I don't remember when the first goal was, but let's say 75 minutes into that game, I was like, Galashi is going to smash this slate.
And oh, man, it was close to happening. Yeah, Ronaldo, he misses that sitter at the end of the first half. Oh. Like the exact chance you want falling to a guy like Ronaldo. And yeah, it just looked like it was going to be one of those games, but he got there.
He got there. Never a doubt.
Never a doubt.
If anybody has any follow-up questions for me or Ryan, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to get in there. If you are not a RotoWire subscriber and want to try us out for free for 10 days, no credit card required, just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. It gets you access to that Discord as well and all the sports that we cover on RotoWire. For those watching on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below if you've liked it. If you didn't, the like button is still there for you, so take that chance. And anybody listening on the audio version of the podcast, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Ryan, thank you for that. Good luck on Wednesday, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.